a UW-Madison undergraduate is encouraging other men to talk back to the concept of masculinity and to express how those expectations have been damaging to them. The Dear Masculinity Project asks men to submit short essays in the form of a letter that tell what they've lost out on because of having to be tough and stoic. Some of those essays have been turned into short videos, like this one by Quan Logan.
Dear Masculinity, I'm writing to you because I lost myself, within you and among men at the same time. When my cousins stopped looking like family, started becoming challenges to overcome, when my heart became as hard as the looks they gave, as the bars they lifted, as the weight we all carried, I knew I had been swayed.
Eneal Pickett is a student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and is the founder of the Dear Masculinity Project. Eneal, thanks for coming in today.
No, thank you for having me.
What first made you start thinking about the concept of masculinity and the impact it's had on you?
I really started thinking about toxic masculinity when I got in college. And, when growing up where I'm from, I was taught that I had to be tough in order to survive. But when I got to college, I understood that that same mentality can be used here because of the environment that I'm in. And also, I have privilege being a college student. So I have time to think about these things. And I'm on scholarship, so I get paid to go to school. So I understand, with me having this privilege, I better do something with it, mm-hmm. that I shouldn't just waste it.
And how did you come up with the idea for the Dear Masculinity Project?
To be honest, I wrote a letter to my masculinity first, because I wouldn't ask any one of my participants who participated to do something that I couldn't do for myself. So I ended up writing a letter to my masculinity, and my letter was to my father, because I believe hypermasculinity killed my father. And
can you tell us more what you mean by that?
Well, my father, he had me when he was 15. My father died when he was 17. He died when I was 2 years old. And my mother always told me the story of how my father died. And when she told me the story of how he died, it was, long story short, that it was just anger. And the fact that he tried to confront somebody with a gun, and that person ended up having a gun as well. And what hypermasculinity do to you, make you irrational. So the fact is, and when you meet somebody who's also hypermasculine, they're going to test you. So who's going to win within this battle, not of wits, but of just, of toughness?
It's almost like it's better to lose your life than to lose pride.
Yes.
And why do you think having men speak directly to the concept of masculinity is important? That's a really interesting way of doing it, I think.
To be honest, I came up with that concept because I'm a poet. So everything is, at my roots is poetry. So, I looked at masculinity as a larger system that patriarchy engulfs, and what patriarchy perpetuates, which is hypermasculinity. And have a man, do that, because when you think of something as human, it's easy for you to speak to it. It's easy for you to connect with. So if masculinity was a man, or if masculinity was a physical being, what would you say? What questions would you ask it? Would you cuss it out? Would you say, I'm not really that mad at you because I messed up? Or would you say, no, you messed my life up? Mm-hmm. And I wanted people to easily connect with it. I didn't want to make it too complex, because when you make stuff too complex, it gets lost in translation. And I want everybody to understand it. And I made this project for people back home who don't have the privilege of going to college, who can't enter spaces that I do, that I'm in. So I made the project really simple for people that is not even in college to understand.
And how do you find the men to participate in this?
I had some friends from back home who participated, but most of the people that participated are Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin-Madison students, and also some staff. And I had them write letters to masculinity. And I reached for people back home, and they wrote letters too.
We're talking with Eneal Pickett. He's a junior at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and a First Wave Scholar. He's the founder of the Dear Masculinity Project. And Eneal, this idea of masculinity seems to interfere with men's relationships with other men, but really everyone in their lives. Here's a portion of a video done by a Johnny Carr.
Should I be tougher since my skin is black? Should I treat women like objects and aspire to be a man? Is it okay to let my heart to give and accept love? Am I acting too soft? Is being a real man something I lost sight of? When sad topics come up, I can never focus. And it's sad because nobody will ever notice. Because inside of my mind, I always hold this. Why won't you let me let go of my pride? When I'm feeling down, man, I always hide. She told me to tell her how I felt, and I tried, I really tried. But why you make me put my feelings to the side?
Why do you make me put my feelings to the side? Is that something that you hear from a lot of the men, that it's not that they don't have those feelings, it's that they don't feel like they can express them?
Exactly. Like a lot of men, like they were taught not to express their feelings. So as they get older, they don't know how to express them at all. And they become like so stoic and so cold and so like violent and so aggressive. And you sometimes you'd be like, who hurt you? Like, what is happening? And I can talk about how masculinity affects men, which it does, hypermasculinity, but it also affects women too. The fact how men abuse or inflict violence upon women. And that's also a result of toxic and hypermasculinity. And I had somebody ask me, come up to me, was like, Ina, do you think of people who can have healthy masculinity? And with that, I'm grappling with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't wanna, like, for me at this moment in my life, no. Because I don't know, the compass of masculinity is rooted in violence. And I don't know, like, healthy masculinity. And I can be wrong, but it's like, I don't know, I just view masculinity as so dangerous because that's all I've seen.
Dear Masculinity is going to be staged in your hometown of mm-hmm. Chicago as part of a play festival at the Goodman Theater later mm-hmm. this summer. What do you hope that audience members will take away from it?
I want people to see that you cannot destroy hypermasculinity and toxic masculinity just with one person. It takes a group of people to dismantle a system or to destroy it. And that's what I really want people to take away. That yes, these systems are in place, but it's going to take a bunch of us to destroy it. Because it took a bunch of us to build it.
And what would you say to boys and men who are struggling with what they think society and those around them expect of them?
I would say, be human. If you want to cry, cry. If you like pink things, wear pink things. If you like fingernail polish, wear fingernail polish. Like, the standards we have of men is absolutely ridiculous. For them to act and for them like to betray themselves, because a lot of them have identity issues. They don't know who they really are because they've been lied to all this time.
Anil, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you.
Anil Pickett is a junior at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and is a first wave scholar. He joined us to talk about the project that he founded, Dear Masculinity. Coming up after the news, dealing with ongoing health concerns is hard. But what if doctors can't pinpoint what's wrong? I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.